for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, June the 29th, 1987. Midsummer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, and Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, are the speakers of the evening.
It's a privilege for me this evening to have Brother Tommy Cook and Brother Jack Harris to minister to us this evening. Jack, I'm going to ask to come and minister to us for whatever time the Lord feel that the Lord would have him minister, and then Tommy Cook will finish the ministry this evening. Brother Jack Harris is from Beckville, Texas. He's a prophet and apostle of the Lord. I say that unequivocally, and we appreciate him and the ministry that God of the Lord that flows through this man as he ministers in the name of the Lord. Brother Jeff, it's a privilege to have you here this evening.
Praise the Lord. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of the sinner, or setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, shall bring forth his fruit in his season, and also his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor the sinner in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? Kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break his bands from us, let us cast his cords asunder. He that setteth in the heavens shall lie. He shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king in my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord hath said unto me. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt rule them with a rod of iron, dash them in pieces as a potter's vessel. Hear ye, kings, be wise, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they, all of they, that do put their trust in thee. I'll tell you, the heathen is raging, and they are imagining a vain thing. They're trying to break the cords and the bindings and cast them asunder. But there is one that setteth in the heaven that lies, and he says it's too late. It's too late. I've already set my king in my holy hill of Zion. Hallelujah. There, nothing can be done about it. Hallelujah. Amen. The heathen will continue to rage, and they'll continue to try to find a way out of their entrapment, but the king has already been set. You know what's happening to the world today? The heathen are raging. You know who's putting the pressure on them? Sons of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're applying pressure. Hallelujah. We're applying pressure in the high places. Hallelujah. Amen. Against principalities and powers in high places. Hallelujah. Now I declare unto you without fear of being corrected that everything that stands tonight that wasn't planted by God will have to crumble. It's got to go. Has to go. But they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall be fat and flourishing. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. to show that the Lord is good. He is upright, and in him is no unrighteousness at all. Hallelujah. I think we should rejoice as we behold the happenings throughout the world today, my Lord, and realize just what is happening. The blessed sons of God, that's the elect, those that have fallen on to know God, they that have come to be established in the top of the mountain, in the house of the Lord. For know that the Lord will establish his house in the top of the mountain. And there will be teachings on the way of the Lord. Yea, the Lord would say unto thee this night, house of God, I have called thee from afar. From many directions you have come. Many have come with specifics in mind. Many came generalizing, saith the Lord thou God. But I have something for all of you. Yea, if you come with specifics, I know what it is. Yea, and I will know how to handle it, saith the Lord. Yea, nothing shall be too hard for me. Now I ask you to train your mind upon me. I shall teach you the ways of the Lord. Yea, I shall teach you more than the acts and the works of the Lord, but I shall teach you the ways. I'll let you come to know the Lord, that you'll know by what means God moves in certain directions. Yea, there are many things that I should like to teach thee, saith the Lord. Howbeit, I will do it. Yea, you can be sure I will do it. It will be line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. You shall come to know the Lord in a tremendous measure. Yea, for increase already is coming. Yea, you are being increased. Yea, growth is taking place. Maturity is developing, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, come unto me. Yea, I'll draw you together in a close circle, saith the Lord. I speak not so much geographically as I do spiritually, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, come. Come, I invite you to come to the throne of grace with boldness. You do not have to come fearful. Come with confidence, knowing that you will find mercy and grace to help you in your time of trouble. Call on me when you're in trouble, and see if I will not hear, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, tell me the secrets of your heart, and see if I will not comfort you, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, confide in me, and see that I will not betray thee, saith the Lord thou God. For you are my people, and I am your God. Yea, and I am not ashamed to identify this way, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, know that it is not by chance that you have come together. Yea, but the Lord thou God has called you out from among the stuff and from among things. Yea, to bring you even to this place. Yea, that you might be blessed of the Lord. Yea, and know that as you have come together, yea, the Lord would admonish thee to forget the things, yea, that are past, and pressed toward the mark for the price of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Yea, there is always more, but it's up ahead, saith the Lord. It is here and from here ahead, saith the Lord. Lean into the Lord tonight, yea. Listen as his word is unfolded. Yea, listen to the prophet of the Lord. Yea, and you shall be established. You shall be blessed. Yea, know that I've called you for this. Hallelujah. I take this privilege to invoke the choicest blessings from heaven on this camp during these days of meeting here. I invoke the choicest, richest blessings of heaven on the camp. And may you be a recipient of some of those. Hallelujah. This is my hope. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, how art they increased that trouble me? Many there be that rise up against me. Many there be that say of my soul, there's no help for him in God. But thou, Lord, art my shield and my glory. You're the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid now if 10,000 people gather themselves together against me. Rise up, O Lord, save me, my God. Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to thee, and thy blessings are upon all of your people. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, I like this verse of Scripture, the second verse it is, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, in this verse, we find two laws, do we not? We find the law of life and the law of death. And these are two great laws that we find in the Word of God. And upon these two laws, based upon these two laws, we find two great mysteries, the mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of godliness, of course, is based upon the law of life, and the mystery of iniquity is based upon the law of death. And Paul says, without controversial, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, he was justified in the Spirit. And he was seen of angels. Hallelujah. Yes, well, he made quite a splash, didn't he? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, God was manifest in the flesh. That is, St. John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelled among men. We behold His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word was made flesh. God wanted to communicate with us, and He had problems all through the Old Testament and always. But always, God wanted to say, you know what He wanted to say? He wanted to say, I love you. I love you, Tommy. I love you. That's what he was trying to say. But they didn't read that when he shook the mountains and the earthquake and the rock slides. And they just didn't quite understand, I love you, out of that. But I don't default him. Had I been there, I probably would have misunderstood him too. And maybe I'd run backwards with him 12 miles. And I'd besought Moses to go up and see what you can find out. Hallelujah. I mean, if he tells you anything for us, we'll do all that he says. Well, that's what they said. Of course, they never did do that, but they said they would. Now, so God moves progressively toward humanity, always reaching down to us. God, there's something within us that wants us to know God, isn't there? And God wants to know, He wants us to know Him worse than we want to know Him. You know that? That's why He left us this. That's why He sent all these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and all the diversities of gifts, that we might know God. John wrote his entire book, got to the end of the 20th chapter, and said, this is not all that I've seen Him do. That's not all He done, but I suppose if I tried to record all that He done and began to do it, it wouldn't be enough books in the libraries to hold it. But He said, these things has been recorded that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. I just chose choice settings as the Spirit gave me utterance, and every one of them is designed to make you believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's what you have to believe. If you would come to Zion, you have to believe that Jesus, hallelujah, is the Son of God. And that we are the body of Christ. And that Jesus is the head. and he always has the preeminence. Blessed be God. So the Word was made flesh, and he was justified in the Spirit. That is, the Spirit of God's plan, God's intent, had to approve the life that Jesus walked as he walked before man. That justified him in the Spirit. And then he was seen of angels. And oh, what a glad day it was when the angels seen him. For centuries, they had been dispatched by a voice that came out of the Shekinah light and glory of God. But they had seen no form. Because God was invisible. Sometimes, the prophet said that he chose to dwell in gross darkness. Sometimes maybe the voice came from the darkness, but never had they seen him that the voice came from. And he had dispatched them to all corners of the universe. Many times over, they were quick to rise at his command, at the command of this voice. And then one day, Jesus walked along the shores of Galilee. Hallelujah. Amen. And in him dwelled all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Hallelujah. And he began to teach, and the angels recognized, this is a voice that we heard from the Shekinah glory. This is the same voice that has directed us for centuries. And now they looked and they seen him. He was seen of angels. It was the first time they had seen God. Hallelujah. Amen. For Jesus said to Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Hallelujah. Now, don't let me lose you here. But if Jesus said to Philip, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father, by the same token, look at each other and see the Christ. If you want to see Christ, by the same token, you see Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God forever. That's almost too lofty for us, isn't it? Hallelujah. 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 Well, it's a great privilege to be here, Brother Miller. Brother Miller was telling you I've been kindly got under the weather. I don't know what happened to me. I think I run myself in the ground. That's what everybody was calling me from all over this nation, Brother Miller. And letters. And I put the letters... almost, I was the same word was coming from all quarters, and you have pushed too hard, Brother Jack. Let up, and you'll be all right. Nothing wrong with you physically. And I took all kinds of tests. I was sick. I mean, you know, so a friend of mine met me. I met him a day or two ago and said. He said, he was asking another fellow, said, where's Brother Jackson? I haven't seen him around. He said, oh, he's been sick. Oh, well, I said, that ain't like him to be sick. He said, well, said, I tell you what, said, he's been sick. You might ought to go see him. I think he meant if you want to see him, you better go. I was about that. I was sick. My wife was plumb worried about and all. Everybody was plumb worried about me, including myself. I thought, well, and the Lord brought me into a great, though I had some experiences while I was in this state that I hadn't had before. The Lord brought me to a great state of repentance. Not that I, I always say repentance is the first principle of the kingdom. Everybody has to repent. You have to keep repenting. But I never had been brought to a state of repentance that the Lord brought me to as I lay afflicted. And I just didn't know how much further I might be able to go. I didn't know whether the Lord was going to maybe just bring me in. Hallelujah. Fold the tent. Hallelujah. Amen. And go home. I felt like folding the tent. It felt awful worn. just fold the tent and go home. And I said, Lord, whatever you want. I had hoped to walk into life, but I'll settle for the first resurrection. If it's
if that's what you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And this went on from, this started back in January, and I just kind of got going about 6 weeks ago. I mean, you know, I never was bedfast, but I was, I hung pretty close to the easy chair, and people were praying for me from all over, and writing me letters, calling me, and all of them was, it was the same. Every time I thought, well, I'm going to make it 2 or 3 more days, somebody would call me and assure me that, you're going to make it, you know. And one amazing thing about it, too, people called me from all over and that didn't know I was sick and gave me their troubles. And I sometimes they'd usually get me before I get up in the morning, and I'd lay there and talk to them, you know, and I wouldn't mention mine, but theirs was so pathetic, you know. You know, if you kind of get hurt a little bit, and unless you've got something worse than a broken leg, some people will embarrass you if you mention it to them. But theirs will be so much worse. Well, I took call after call. I don't know. I think I got more trouble calls than I ever got from just people. And some of them I didn't even know, but a lot of them were real close friends. I let them unload on me and gave them my best available advice for the shape that I was in, and give them a word of prophecy, and they never knew I was sick till they. And some of them, later, I was up in convention in the Carolinas, preacher convention up there about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and several apologized to me for calling me and unloading their troubles on me. But I don't know. I guess out of all of it, God does what he intends to do. Hallelujah. So whatever he intended was, you know, it was all right with me, but I went. He brought me to a deep state of repentance, and I repented till I didn't know, you know, not that I'm that good a feller to not could think of nothing to repent of, but I repented of everything I could think of, and then I didn't feel repented enough, so I just repented all the way back, you know. It's far back as I go, I just repented again for all of my all the mean things that I did. I repented, and I'd just repent again. If I forgot anything, I'd just say, Lord, I guess you remembered. I repent for that too. Hallelujah. And it really brought a tenderness to my spirit and to my heart. And it really gave me a compassion that I hadn't had, really. Really. And I ministered. I'd get able to come over and minister one time on Sunday, and the Lord would, it was sweet. The Lord had moved so tremendous, I ministered with such compassion, for me, I'm kind of roughshod, as you know, but you have to look a long time to find somebody more tenderhearted than I am, or was even before that, but I don't come off normally that way. I think I come off kind of roughshod, but I love all of God's people. I've been a long time doing it, and I don't have any ulterior motives. I just do it because the calling is upon me. God chose me. I didn't choose. I wouldn't have chosen this, but now that the Lord chose me and I did it, I'm glad. I'm glad. I don't guess I could have done anything that would have been made me feel better about things. You know what I mean? I might have could have done some things that would have made me more renowned, but I didn't want to be renowned. As a matter of fact, I have come through really and truly. And I say this, I don't think people, maybe they don't believe it, but people that really know me know that I have purposely tried to keep a low profile. Now, that's a new idea for ministry. I mean, most ministry that I knew and I came up with, they were always trying to promote themselves. But I can truthfully say that I have always endeavored to keep a low profile, as low as possible, and do the work of the Lord. And so the Lord, if I had any glory toward me, or, you know, it's just the Lord that did it. I've tried to keep a low profile, and I don't even have a... Well, I don't say this to downgrade anybody does. I don't even have a mailing list. I don't. And I don't, you know, I do tapes, of course, of the services home. And I just send them out on request. And a person writes to me, asks me for tapes. I send them to them. And I don't never send them anymore until they write or call me and ask me for them. Praise the Lord. I just want to work in the kingdom with, you know, with people like Brother Sister Miller and the Moody's here and Brother Tommy Cook here and many of you, the some I don't know and some I do. But I just, all I desire is just to be a part of whatever we're doing. I like Lake Hamilton. I love Brother Sister Miller and they are good stewards. For the Lord, really good stewards for the Lord. They handle everything. They handle their business, the Lord's business, real well. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if I had a business, I need somebody to run, I'd try to get Glenn to do it. Praise the Lord. God bless you real good, Brother Glenn.
Thank you, Brother Jack. To those of you who have received our publication, you have read some of Brother Jack's writings or his topics of his ministry here in our paper, and it's a privilege to have him feeling strong enough to be here again. He came down the last of January with something that nobody, the doctors or nobody knew what, only the Lord. And when the Lord got ready for him to be over it, why, he's gotten over it, whatever the Lord was working in it. And Jack's the one that's never been sick in his life. He's had a few problems. He come through World War II and was left. They was going to leave him for dead in Germany, and his buddies wouldn't let him. And God had a reason. Came through Normandy, and he came through the Battle of the Bulge and some other things. He was a paratrooper, commander of a company, several hundred men under him. At the age of 19, he was commander, and then the Lord sent him back home. He recuperated, and then highly decorated, one of our most decorated men, very humble man. But we have need reason to be proud of what he has served his nation and us. I appreciate the blessed Brother Jack. Amen.
Lord, again tonight, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the moving of thy spirit. And we thank you, God, for your people that's come many miles, many of them. Lord, we ask tonight that you would help us, encourage us as we break your bread and your word, Father. Give us open hearts to receive the engrafted word, which you said is able to save our souls. We bless you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Turn tonight to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I feel the Lord gave me a word this morning, and we want to share some of it with you tonight. We thank God for seeing Brother Jack again tonight here with us. Appreciate Brother Harris and his ministry that the Lord has put in him. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm like Brother Jack. I believe we all need to repent a lot more in what we're doing. Amen. And I believe we need to all go down. Praise the Lord. Because if we go down, how many know he's able to raise us up? But if we raise ourselves up, we'll fall. And we told you last night, those that were here, we said there were two things that's being taught in the land. Number one, that man can never fall. Or number two, man can never stand. But we see Judas disproves that first point, disproves the other, John the Revelator. Now here in 2 Thessalonians 2, The Bible said in verse 1, let's start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, church, by the coming, parousia, of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Hallelujah. And we know that's what we're doing tonight. Amen. Unto Him shall be the gathering of the people. Hallelujah. But it says here, and by our gathering together unto Him, we have come to this camp to gather unto Him, not to be seen or heard, but to gather around Christ. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, because that's where we get shook up, first place, or be troubled, neither by a spirit, nor by a word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ. Let no man deceive you by any means. How many know we're living in an hour of deception? Across the land, across the world, and in the church. Let you by any means, whatever means it may be by a spirit, another word, or that which is written. And then he says, for that day, the day of the Lord, shall not come except something happen, until there comes a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, a revelation of the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself and so forth. Now, this word here, where Paul said, this falling away, I mean, no, it's the apostasy. It actually means the revolt, the rebellion. It means a riding of divorcement. One goes one way, one goes another. It means defection from the truth, and it means the rebellion. We are living in that hour today, I believe, brethren. But I'm not going to just dwell on the negative. Now, we're going to look at the negative, and then we're going to dwell on the positive. How many know we need the positive in the negative? Amen? Praise the Lord. So, we can see tonight, there is a revolt, there is an apostasy, there is rebellion, there is defection from truth. Praise the Lord. Now, in this chapter, Paul deals with the gathering. Paul deals with the falling away. Paul deals with the man that's revealed, the man of sin. How many know the Bible says on down, look in verse 4, he's opposing and exalting himself. Well, we know that happens in mankind as well. Isn't that right? How many know there's a beast in us that wants to rise up and be exalted. Isn't that right? Who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God, or that is worship, so that he is God sitting where? In, come on, the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. All right, so we're dealing with the gathering. We're dealing with the falling away, the man of sin being revealed. We're dealing with lawlessness at work, the revelation of the wicked one, the coming of this man of sin, lying signs and wonders. How many know that's real, lying signs and wonders? Amen? We better know. We need to discern, is it God or is it not God? Amen? And then strong delusion, the coming of Jesus, as well as the day of the Lord. So there's a lot in this chapter Paul is dealing with. Now turn to Matthew 24. Brethren, let's go there tonight with that scripture in mind. Matthew 24. And let's look down in verses. Let's see here. Look in verse 11. And many false prophets, we shared on this the last time we were here, shall arise and shall deceive many. Next verse. And because iniquity, or lawlessness, or rebellion shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now notice, the false prophets are deceiving what? Many. And Jesus said, iniquity, or lawlessness, or rebellion, the love of many shall wax cold. I mean, when it's cold, you're restricted. You can't do what God wants you to do. And so Jesus speaks at the end of the age that there's going to be lawlessness abounding and yet many waxing cold. Now, we'll come back there in just a little bit. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. And verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Holy Spirit is speaking. I mean, when He speaks, we better listen. That in the latter time, do you believe we're in the latter times? Yes. Some, now not everybody, some shall depart from the faith. That's those that's been in the faith of Jesus. Can you say amen? Giving, here's how they're going to do it. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. How many know that seducing spirits come to open you up and to open you up for more devils? But the devil sends the seducing spirits out to open you up, and when you're open, the others come in. But here he said, these are seducing spirits and doctrines of demons and speaking lies and so forth. So Paul is saying there's going to be those who've been in the faith who shall depart in the latter times. All right, 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. Verse 1. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 to 4. The scripture says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick. How many know that means those that are living? And the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul is speaking to Timothy, verse 3. For the time will come, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, sound teaching, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to scratch their own ears. They're going to get their own teachers. But how many know unless God calls and sends them, they're not worth anything. Amen? And they shall turn away their ears from what, brethren? The truth. The truth. And shall be turned into fables. My margin says fiction. So the Bible again teaches us there will be those who will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll turn away from the truth. Praise the Lord. Now turn to Isaiah 6. Now there's quite a message here we can't get into in this chapter, but I want to read just a couple of verses in Isaiah 6. And usually when I teach this scripture, I teach tithing. I teach a natural tithe. I teach a spiritual tithe. And I teach that the sons of God will become the tithe. A 30, 60, 100 principle, so to speak. But how many believe we need to give in the natural to God's work? Well, how many believe we need some spiritual tithes? We need some justice and mercy and love. And yet there is a people becoming the tithe. I'm not going to deal with that, but look in Isaiah 6 and look at verse 10. Isaiah 6:10, it says, make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Verse 12, and the Lord, having done something, remove men far away, and there be something. What is it? A great forsaking in the midst of the land. Verse 13, but yet in it, in the midst of all of it, God said there shall be a tent. How many know the word tithe means a tent? And it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree, as an oak whose substance, notice that, whose substance is in them. There's some substance right here. How many know we need God's substance tonight, his nature? You know, we need signs and wonders and miracles, but I'll tell you, that's not the first priority. The first priority is having God's nature. Isn't that right, brother? And out of that nature will flow this other. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. And you know those trees lose those leaves during the winter months? But praise God, there's a substance within those trees when spring comes that those leaves come right back out. Isn't that right? I mean, oh, God sometimes will allow us to be stripped. But thank God there's something in us that will cause us to flourish again. Amen? And notice what he says here. The holy seed shall be what? The substance thereof, right in the midst of the forsaking in the land. Now turn to Daniel 11:30. Daniel 11:30 tonight in the Word of God. Daniel 11:30. Notice what it says here. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. Hallelujah. How many know God makes the covenants? And notice what kind it is. It's a holy covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return and have intelligence. This is by psychic power, this man of sin, this antichrist, call him what you want to. Shall have intelligence or understanding with them that do something, with them that forsake the holy covenant. So here's a people, God, and I believe it's God's people of the end of the age, forsaking the holy covenant, and yet they're leaving God's camp, going into the camp of the man of sin. Amen. Hallelujah. God doesn't want us to sell out to the enemy. He wants us to sell out to Him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, Jeremiah 2. Turn to Jeremiah 2. 19. I'm going to read it from the New American. Jeremiah 2, 19. And let's see what it says here. Jeremiah 2, 19. In the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. The Scripture says, your own wickedness will correct you. How many know that's true? And your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see that is evil and bitter. For you to forsake the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Now listen to the next verse, the part of the verse. And the dread of me is not in you, declares the Lord God of hosts. We need more of God's fear, don't we, brother? We need a revelation of the fear of God. You know, the Bible said the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. But we all, at least myself, need a greater revelation of the fear of God. And if you don't have the fear of God taste, my brother Norman Parrish, you ought to buy him back on the table. It's a tremendous series, I believe, on the fear of God. I was blessed by him very much. Praise the Lord. Turn back to Daniel now, chapter 12. Daniel 12. Daniel 12. We've seen so far that Christians will be cold, that seducing spirits will get a hold of God's people, that many will not hear, that there will be a forsaking in the land, that there's no fear of God among many that will turn from God in their apostasy. But here in Daniel 12, 7, look at it just a minute, and notice what it says in verse 7 of Daniel 12. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, and when he held up his right hand and his left hand into heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, which is probably 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to do something, to scatter the power, everybody see that? Of who? The holy people, that's those who have God in them, all these things shall be finished. Now notice, it says he shall accomplish something, and he'll scatter the power of the holy people. Well, how many know that we get our power from the Holy Ghost? But we get our power by seeking our God. Isn't that right? By having a communion and fellowship and a union with Jesus. But it says here, he'll scatter the power of the holy people. That means their prayer life. Why? Or how? Because of sin. I mean, no, sin will cause us to stop praying. Amen? You say, well, I'm too busy on that. Well, it's still sin. Praise the Lord. So we can see that there's a people here that he will scatter the power of that holy people because, I believe, because of sin. All right, now, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. We are dealing with the negative right now. We're going to see the positive in a little bit. 2 Timothy 4. And let's look at verse 10. Here is a minister of the gospel that traveled with Paul. And notice what it says in 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas hath forsaken me. How many has ever had some disappointments and somebody let you down? Everybody in here. Having loved something, this present work. How many know Satan's of God of this world? Demas has forsaken me. Paul is saying he let me down. He disappointed me. He deserted me. Having loved this present world and is departed. Turn to James 1. How many believe Christians today can leave God for the world and are doing it? Hallelujah. James 1:26. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, notice, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain, is futile, empty. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from who? From the world. From the world. Now turn over to 1 John 5. Let's look at a positive with that. 1 John 5. Thank you, Lord. 1 John 5, verse 18. 1 John 5, 18, it says, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Well, there's a lot in those verses, isn't there? There's a lot about being born again. How many know we have been born again, we're being born again, we shall be born again? Past, present, future. And notice it said, he sins not. I'm not going to deal with that right now. But he that is begotten of God keepeth what? Himself. And that wicked one touches him not. How many know the wicked one's the devil? But how many know that's more than just a baby Christian right there? Amen? That's one that's growing up in the Lord. Isn't that right? And knows who he is and taking his rightful place in God and living for God. Why did I read that? Because back in James he said we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Who's behind the world again? Satan. And right here he said he keepeth himself. He guards himself. And that wicked one touches him not. Turn to 1 John 2. We'll see how it's done. 1 John 2, verse 12. Well, I just want to read one verse here. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 and 14. I'll just read these two. Actually, you see a 30, 60, 100 principle here with the children, the young men, and the fathers. But in verse 13, I write to you, fathers, because you've known him from the beginning. That is, and I write to you, young men. Now, that's 40 years and up, this word young men here. I mean, though some of us might be a candidate. Notice what he says. Because you have, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one, I write to you, little children, because you've known the Father, and I've written to you, fathers, because you've known him, that is, from the beginning, and I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for the children. Thank God for the young men, and thank God for the fathers. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you have heard me say this many times, but I'd like to say it. In the outer court, we got workers. In the holy place, we got warriors. But in the Holy of Holies, we have worshipers. But we need some fathers. We need some mothers, don't we? We need some mothers to look after Miriam, don't we? We need some fathers that can teach Timothy. Hallelujah. I thank God for all the spiritual mothers and fathers in the church. And Paul said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you don't have many fathers. Hallelujah. Thank God for the fathers. All right, turn with me to Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8, again, I want to read in the New American as we turn there. Jeremiah 8, verse 4 in the Scripture. Jeremiah 8, verse 4 through 6. We're talking about the apostasy. We're talking about falling away in the end of the age. Chapter 8, verse 4, and you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord, do men fall and not get up again? Does one turn away and not repent? These are questions. Why then has this people, Jerusalem, I mean, oh, we're Jerusalem today too. And yet God's taking the people to Zion, isn't that right? Turn away in continual apostasy. They hold fast to what? Deceit. I don't know what the King James says on that. Deceit? Okay. They refuse to return. I have listened and heard. They have spoken what is not right. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Well, I mean, oh, we got deceit. We need to repent of it. If we have guile in us, we need to repent of it. Amen? Amen. There was no guile in Jesus' mouth. And Revelation 14, it says, 144,000, there was no guile in their mouth. That means they've been purged and cleansed. What does that mean? That means they repented. Hallelujah. They repented and were purged. Praise God. Now, turn to 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 in God's Word. And notice verse 11. How many's ever read the story of David when kings went out to battle? And he stayed behind from the battle? How many know he got in trouble with Bathsheba? He saw this woman, and he went and brought, had her brought to him, committed adultery. Remember that? He was lying on his bed, which means he was at ease. Idle time can destroy a lot of people. Do you know that? In 1 Timothy 5:11, notice what he says here about it. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, Ma Martin says, turn away from Christ, they will marry, having, actually should be condemnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And we know that's Jesus. And withal they learn to be what? Notice they're learning to be idle. Two, they're wandering about from house to house. And three, not only idle, but they're tattlers and also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Well, how many know women just done? You know, they're not the only one that does this. There are men that do it too. They have their coffee shops. Come on. Amen. I know of one town right now I'm thinking of. Boy, they all the men gather every morning with their coffee and their cigarettes, and here goes the words. Hallelujah. This word busybody, it's mentioned several times in the Scripture, but how many know the word curious arts over in Acts 19, which is magic? We're dealing with the same thing when we're dealing with, if we're a busybody, it's just like we're practicing the occult. It's the same thing. So many who are doing it don't realize it, but they're practicing the occult and don't even know it. Next verse. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Next verse. For some are already turned aside after Satan. So we're talking about people who are idle. We're talking about tattlers and busybodies. Now go back to Daniel 8. Should have given it all to you while I was there, I guess. Need to learn your Bible anyway. Daniel 8. Now, I want to show you this scripture with another scripture that hopefully will open our eyes tonight. We know in verse 23 of chapter 8, 8:23 of Daniel, Daniel talks about this king of fierce countenance coming forth here, and the transgressors are coming forth, just as God's people must come into his fullness. We know the devil's crowd is going to come into the devil's fullness. But in verse 24, though, I want you to notice what it says. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Satan's going to give the man of sin his power. He shall do something. What's he going to do, brethren? He's going to destroy, and that word destroy means corrupt. And notice, wonderfully, and shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy or corrupt the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, he'll cause craft to prosper in his hand. He'll magnify himself in his heart. And by what? Peace, prosperity, or security, he shall corrupt or destroy many. How many believe that many can fall because of prosperity? How many know God's not against you having things, but if things have you, it's wrong. But there is a false power, a prosperity in the land, and we know there is a true prosperity from our God as we come God's way. Come on. Now, turn back to Genesis. Let me show you this word destroy we're dealing with here. Go back to Genesis chapter 6. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to bless his people. I do that. I believe that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let's wait before the Lord just a minute. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want those stand right now that's having some upper back problems in this area right here. Stand up to your feet, whoever you are. Anybody else? Just that one, two, three. Let's reach your hands out to them tonight, right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against that condition in their body right now, Lord. We smite it in Jesus' name. We command it to take its hands off of God's property. Lord, we ask you to heal them now and deliver them in the name of Jesus from that back problem right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand. Can we do it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Look in verse 12. Genesis 6, it's not 12, it's verse, let me get my other Bible. Hang on here just a minute. I got three Bibles I got to preach out of. Irma's teasing me tonight about it. Okay. Genesis, I want to make sure I give the right word. Genesis 6, verse 13, start with verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted. See that word corrupted? That means destroyed. It's his way upon the earth. Man had already destroyed his way before God wiped him off. Are you hearing me? That's the word we're dealing with in Daniel when he said that he would corrupt or destroy the holy people. All right, now, notice verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come up before me. For the earth is filled with violence. How many know we're seeing it again, brethren, across the land? I'm not trying to be negative, but it's there, isn't it? Through them, notice, and behold, here it is, I will corrupt, it's the same word, or destroy them with the earth. Then we look up to verse 17. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy. There's the word again. It means corrupt, destroy. All flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that's in the earth shall die. So that's the word Daniel was using in chapter 8 there. That word corrupted in verse 12. That word destroyed in verse 13. And the word destroy in verse 17. Same word. Now come back to verse 13 just a minute. Look at the last part of verse 13. For the earth is filled with violence, and through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Everybody see that? All right, turn to Revelation 11, 18. Lord, quicken this to me today. 11, 18 of Revelation. How many know there's a lot happening in this chapter? There's resurrection, last trumpet, a lot of things happening that we won't go into that. But in verse 18, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great. Now look at this. And should destroy them which destroy the earth. Hallelujah. All right. Go to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. How many know when God lets the hammer down, he means business? And God doesn't do it until he has to. God is a merciful, long-suffering God, isn't he? Yes, he is. 1 Timothy 6, but as Brother Miller said, I believe this morning, the judgments, or maybe it's last night, the judgments are coming. How many know men will learn righteousness when the judgments come in the earth? Oh, yes. All right, 1 Timothy 6. You'll see another reason for falling away. It's like that in Daniel. But in 1 Timothy 6, 5, notice what it says. 6, 5. The last part of it, he talks about, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Anybody bring anything in when you can't? Well, I think it's going to be the same when we leave, Jack. Verse 8. Verse 8, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, and how many know this kind of people run over everybody to get what they want? It's nothing wrong, again, I don't believe in having things if God's blessed you, brethren, if you come God's way. But here it says, and they that will be rich. And I believe that's a strong word. That's one that will just run over every, probably his mother-in-law or whoever, to get what they want. Notice, fall into temptation, a snare, that's a trap, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. So there are men tonight drowned, don't even know it, that they're not even in the water. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10. For the love of money, not money, but the love of it, is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have done something. They have erred, and my margin says, been seduced from the faith. Did you hear me? They've been seduced from the faith and pierced themselves through with many, many sorrows. Hallelujah. God help all of us tonight. Amen? All right. Now, 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Look in verse 15, a familiar scripture that probably most of us could quote here tonight. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I've said this before, I want to say it again. There are three things that I pray in my prayer life. Number one, God keep me from error. Number two, God keep me from pride. And number three, Lord help me to correctly by the Spirit divide God's word. Next verse. How many know we need the help of the Holy Ghost? But shun profane and vain babblings, they'll increase more unto more ungodliness. And their word shall eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And then he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God still standing sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the midst of a falling away, in the midst of those who should have studied the Word of God, we're talking to ourselves tonight. Amen? And have some discernment and not just follow any Tom, Dick, and Harry. How many know there's many doctrines in the land we have to be careful about? One doctrine is that, you, as I said a while ago, everybody can be saved and they'll never be lost. Number two is the any-minute rapture that's being taught. And number three is ultimate reconciliation. Everybody's going to be saved. How many know the Bible doesn't teach that? Why would Jesus come if everybody was going to be saved? Just live it up and have a wild time. Amen. Now, look in 2 Peter 3 with that scripture in mind. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 2, I guess it is. 2 Peter 2, dealing with false teachers among the church, Peter is. He said in verse 1, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Irma said tonight, there are many heresies, and there are in the church. And notice what they're going to do in 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now look at verse 2. Here's the verse I want you to see. And many shall follow their pernicious or evil way. What does that mean? That means they'll have a large following. Are you hearing me? And it says here, they're false teachers. They're going to bring in damnable heresies. And they're going to come into swift destruction. And he mentions the word pernicious ways. And then in verse 3, he mentions the word damnation. The word damnable, destruction, pernicious ways, and damnation. How many know that's the same word for perdition? That's the same word for the beast system. Verse 3. It says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. They want to get everything out of you they can the wrong way. How many know God's against that? I'm glad what Jack said tonight about the mailing list. Praise the Lord. I believe we need to have a low profile. Amen. How many know the Bible says we're to live by faith, not by mailing list? Hallelujah. Now, I'm talking from my standpoint. What God's told other people, I can't answer for. I'm answering for myself. But you know, I'll tell you something. Mailing lists can be good. How many get a magazine here in Hot Springs? It blesses a lot of people. We give a lot of those magazines out. But I'm talking about from the standpoint of just mailing lists out to get money out of people is what I'm dealing with. How many know we need to stay in contact with certain people? Amen. I'll tell you, this camp right here has been blessed because of their mailing list. But they've used it the right way. And I'll tell you, brother, they have tapes and books here that will bless your heart if you'll obey God and get some of them. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, look in Acts 20. Acts 20. Thank you, Lord. Acts 20. And notice verse 28. Take heed therefore. What's that? That's a warning to the shepherds, isn't it? How many know that's who Paul's speaking to right here? Go back to verse 17 just a minute. There in the scripture. Paul's calling the elders of the church here, the local church in Ephesus. How many believe we need to be part of a local work? How many know it's God's order? And only God can place you by the Holy Ghost. You don't have the right, I don't have the right to go where we want to. God has to place us, brother. Isn't that right? Yeah. Hallelujah. And I believe God will place you where there's ministry that will teach you and cause you to grow. In verse 28, take heed therefore, elders, to yourselves and to all the flock. That's the church. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you something. Overseers. If a man's an overseer, God's going to make him one. How many know God's got many ways of doing that? If you've ever been a shepherd, you know what I'm talking about. Jack's a shepherd. To feed the church of God. To feed, to shepherd the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Verse 29. Here's a warning. For I know this, after my departing, Paul said, shall grievous savage wolves enter in where? Among you, church, not sparing the flock. Not sparing the flock. Now look at verse 30. Paul is addressing the shepherds of Ephesus. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking, number one, perverse things. They'll begin to speak perversion. And number two, they'll begin to draw, and that means to drag away disciples after them. Hallelujah. How many know we're not to just follow man, we're to follow the man? The Lamb. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you it's wrong to follow brethren who are holy and walk in faith. Paul said, follow me as I follow what? Christ. But we must set our sights upon Christ. Hallelujah. So he said they'll begin to speak perversion and to draw disciples after them. We're not to seek for men to follow us. We're to seek that men will follow him. And we're to point to him and not to us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews. Then we're going to the positive. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice. I mean, that's a message in itself, how to hear the voice of God. You know, Jeremiah had to go down to the potter's house to hear the voice of God. I mean, there's a potter's wheel in the potter's house. That's a midwife still, which means something's going to be birthed and something's going to be born. And God wants to bring us into that ministry he has for us. You know, most of us sitting in this room, and I think we're going to be certain, maybe certain ministers or have certain gifts and talents, but you know, usually it's just completely opposite of what we first thought. Amen? Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. He was grieved, he said, with that generation. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, what? An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily. I mean, no, that's why we need fellowship. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through, here it is, the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will harden our heart. It'll cause unbelief. It'll cause us to turn from God. Now let's turn to the positive. Go back to Matthew 24 now. We'll start there. Matthew 24, 14. In the midst of the falling away, in the midst of false prophets, in verse 14, Jesus said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached or proclaimed in all the world. Hallelujah. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Aren't you glad? That is the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom that's going to be proclaimed. You know, many don't know much about the kingdom message. But how many know that's the message that must come now? Turn to Revelation 14. Let's see something here also with that. Revelation 14, just one verse. We know that the first fruits are caught up to the throne, and then the harvest is coming in, and then, of course, there's the wicked going to be dealt with in this chapter. But in chapter 14, look in verse 6. I saw another angel. That's a messenger. Fly in the midst of heaven, having something, the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. Hallelujah. And I believe that angel's arising, don't you? Hallelujah. That messenger or messengers, how you want to say it. All right, turn to Acts 2. Acts 2. Acts 2. And notice in verse 16. Acts 2:16. Let's see what the Bible says. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit. And they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and the notable day of the Lord come. Hallelujah. God said there's going to come an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's going to take us right up to the day of the Lord. Amen? Amen. And I believe, brethren, in the greatest time of trouble will come the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, how many know he's able to raise up a standard against him? Yes, he is. Now turn to another scripture, Joel 2. Let's go to Joel. Hallelujah. Joel 2, verses 1 to and 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, I guess. Verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Notice it's Zion. There's Israel, there's Jerusalem, but there's Zion. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Who's going to blow the trumpet? You and I by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And sound the alarm in my holy mountain. That's the mountain that Jack was prophesying about tonight. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess and clouds and thick darkness. But notice, it's as the what? Morning. It's as the morning. In the midst of darkness, there's morning. It will be dark for those that are not prepared, but it's going to be morning for the Zion people. Can you say amen? Notice, it's spread upon the mountains again this morning, this light, a great people, a strong people, and there's never been the like. Praise God. How many know God's taking us back to the garden in a spiritual sense? The tree of life is there. The walk life with God and authority and dominion with our God. Hallelujah. So there is a people that's arising. That shall be the morning in the midst of darkness. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60. Praise your Lord. Isaiah 60 and verse 1. What did the prophet say here? He said in verse 1, yes, arise and shine.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You can't shine unless you got the light in you, can you? Amen. Arise. We need to rise up out of our fear, our unbelief, and whatever we're in. Rise up in the Spirit. Isn't that right? And shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, the heathen, the nations shall come to thy light. And the kings to the brightness of thy rising. You know, brethren, I believe God's going to save all he can in this end time. I believe he's going to save everyone that he can. Praise the Lord. At this end of the age, I believe that. Amen. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy son shall come from far. Thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. There's a family situation right there. Verse 5. Thou shalt see and flow together. Thine heart shall fear and be enlarged because of the abundance of the sea. That's humanity. Shall be converted to thee, and the forces of the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to thee. Hallelujah. How many believe it's going to take some money to get the gospel out and get multitudes saved? Amen? Hallelujah. Look at verse 7, last part of verse 7. I will glorify the house of my glory. How many know we're the house tonight that his glory resides in?
Hallelujah.
He was the first house, and now he's bringing forth another house, isn't he, in his image. Praise the Lord. Then in verse 11, therefore thy gates shall be open continually. That's quite a message in this by itself. They shall not be shut day nor night, and that men may bring unto thee the wealth or the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may also be brought. Praise the Lord. Go to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai chapter 2. Haggai 2. Thank you, Lord. Haggai. Everybody found it? Okay, chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 6. Haggai 2:6 is on page 1380. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. And the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. That includes America. And the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. I can see that two ways. Verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. He didn't say the house is going to be greater. He said the glory of this latter house shall be greater. How many know it's going to take more glory coming in this hour?
Amen.
And in this place, in this house, God said, I'm going to give peace. saith the Lord of hosts. Well, how many know the more of the glory you got coming, the more peace is coming with it? Because he is our peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2. Be through here in a few minutes. Isaiah 2, verse 1. The word that came to Isaiah in we'll look at verse 2 now. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established or prepared in the top of the mountains. And notice what else it says here. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. All nations shall flow into it. Praise God. Hallelujah. The mountain of the Lord's house shall be prepared. It shall be established. And the nations shall flow into it. Thank you, Jesus. One other scripture I want to read to us, and that's found in the book of Revelation. I appreciate you being attentive tonight and hearing the word of God. In Revelation 7:13, we'll read 13 through 17, and I'll close with that. One of the elders answered and sang unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? Whence came they from?" And I said to him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation." Or tribulation the great, or the great affliction. Let me just put it this way, trouble. "And have washed their robes and made them white." Hallelujah. "In the blood of the Lamb." Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus tonight, brother? Hallelujah. "Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them." How many know it's Christ in us tonight, the hope of glory? "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat." That means they've come through the fire. They've been purged and tested. God said no more. "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed or shepherd them, and shall lead them into living fountains of water." Waters, that's the body of Christ. That's the people of God. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. So in the midst of a falling away and a forsaking, there's going to be a people that's going to be the morning. Amen? They're going to have the light of God. They're going to shine with the glory of God in their hearts and upon their lives. Praise the Lord. Let's stand, brethren. Hallelujah. Let's just praise him a minute. Can we do it? Let's love our God tonight. Lord, bless your name. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your grace and your mercy that keeps us from falling, Lord. Mighty God, you're able to keep us from falling. You're able to keep us, Lord, and preserve us, Lord, from those things that are coming. We praise you for it, Lord. Oh, we bless you. We love you tonight, Lord. Know that my son, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. And know that I have not forgotten thee, saith the Lord. For I've seen your steadfastness, and I've seen your love towards me, saith the Lord. And know that my hand is outstretched unto thee. And know that I shall not withhold any good thing from thee, my son. For that which I promised I shall perform, I shall do it, saith the Lord. And know that in this hour thine eyes shall be enlightened. And thou shalt see new things, saith the Lord. Yea, thou shalt see, even as Jonathan reached up with the rod, and put the rod to the honey, and the honey to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened or brightened. Yea, the Lord says, thou shalt be enlightened. Thou shalt be brightened with his glory and with his presence. For I have seen thy walk life. I've seen, again, your love to me and your love for your fellow men. And know that in this hour, my son, thou shalt move out and thou shalt move up in me. For as I move Samson of old, I shall move thee, my son, by my spirit, and thou shalt move throughout the land as I would direct thee. For there shall come a new word, a fresh word from the throne, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Let's praise our God. Oh, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBConline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.